morning, everyone, and welcome to Take-Two Radio. I'm Pam, your host, and I'm assuming the ghost of my co-host, hey, that all rhymes, Sabina, brought in that weird sound at the beginning before the music started.
Sorry. That was an alarm I had on my phone. But hi, yes, I'm here. It looks like we have our guest.
Yes, yes, yes. I think so, too. But so that was your phone making that weird sound. You have it turned off now, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Okay, sounds good. Okay, well, tonight we're so very, very pleased to have with us a very talented actor and singer-songwriter slash musician, Michael Lombardi. Michael, are you with us?
Yes, hello, how are you?
Oh, we're good, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
You're welcome, and thank you for taking the time to join us. We're very thrilled.
My
co-host is Sabina, if you didn't hear that from the announcements, because I think you called
me
after
the
fact.
She had a strange noise come out of her phone at the beginning of the show. I think I caught the end of that.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hey.
Yes, you'll be charged.
That's the thing in with these call-in radio shows. You can hear everything in the background, so... You know, when that went off, I was like, what the heck is that noise? And I looked around here, and I knew it wasn't me then, so it had to be her.
It had to be her, Sabina. Come on.
I'm trying very desperately to turn it off fast. I'm sorry.
So where are you at now, Mike? I'm in Chicago. Sabina's in Atlanta.
Wow. I'm in West Hollywood, Los Angeles, California.
Oh, lucky you, where
Chicago.
It's nice and warm.
Yeah, it's so warm, that's the thing. Like, I'm an East Coast guy. Like, I love New York, and that's where I live, and that's where my main residence is. But I can't complain about this weather. I mean, it's perfect.
Yeah, there's no way, especially when we're sitting here at 8 degrees and it's not going to get any better until maybe April.
Oh, my gosh. Chicago's an absolutely beautiful city, though. I love it there.
Oh, thank you. Then you can come spend winter here, and I'll go spend winter over by you in L.A.
Yeah, yeah, well, I'm not sure I love it that much, but it's not. I played a gig there. Elbow Room. Do you know the Elbow Room in Chicago?
Yeah.
It's a really nice venue. Yeah, I played a gig there a couple of years ago.
Oh, cool. Why didn't you tell me?
No, I wish I did. Now next time I'm in Chicago, you have to come. There's no excuse.
Oh, no, absolutely none, as long as it's in the summertime.
There you go. Okay.
Well, I'd like to talk about your acting career first. I mean, because you're a guy with many hats, it seems. From what I've read, you were in some plays and school, and then you went to in New York. You were on Off Broadway, or is there three offs on that? And you even produced a play called Danny and the Deep Blue Sea. That's awesome.
Yeah. Gosh, that was a long time ago. Yeah, that was a play by John Patrick Shanley, a really fun, heavy, edgy play. I did that. I was, like, out of acting school, as you said, in Manhattan, and did a bunch of that stuff just to, you know, grow and learn and develop as a young actor and artist. And then I was able to start booking some paying gigs, and you know, just had grown from there a lot. You know, I was doing little guest stars, doing some things here and there. I was on, as I saw you had on some of your tweets, SNL, which basically I had like a line. This is like, oh man, let me. This
yeah,
is probably,
but you were still on there.
I was on it, and you want to know the coolest thing about it? Kate Hudson was the guest star, and I played a bartender, so I got to serve her a drink, and Radiohead was the musician, and that was awesome. Yeah, like, I remember someone was like, that's the only sort of, like, it's not an extra, it's like a glorified extra, but that's the only job I ever did like that, and I was told that it's a really good gig because you get to, at rehearsal, watch the band rehearse and, like, sort of see all the skits, and It was really fun, actually. But like I said, that was probably 15 years ago. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, well, it's not that long. You're not that old yet, so.
I'm not that old yet, but old enough to want to get away from that cold weather, like in Chicago and back in the East Coast. I need to keep my bones warm out here.
Yeah.
Oh, is it? You're, where are you, in Atlanta, you said, Sabina?
Yeah, we actually had a really nice day today. I was happy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah, rub it in, all of you people. If the phone hangs up accidentally, no, I'm only kidding.
Yeah, that's great.
Uh-oh.
That is great. Yeah, so to get back to the acting thing, yeah, you know, I worked for a while in New York. I just booked different gigs here and there, and then I worked on a show called The Job on ABC. I did a guest star where I played the cabana boy in an episode. That was Dennis Leary's show. So we met.
Yeah.
He's an amazing guy. And a year or so after that, I did a show on Comedy Central with him. It was like a spoof on Project Greenlight. That was the show with Matt Damon and Ben Affleck when they put together a movie. So there was like a fun spoof thing we did on that. Then about a year after that, I got the opportunity to audition for Rescue Me. And, it was a seven-season run on that show. I was one of the series regulars, and that was my break, and it really was an incredible journey for me. I learned so much and got so many opportunities from that, and it was awesome.
Yeah, I love the show. I watched it, and, it was serious, and it was funny, and, everything that you'd want when you want to sit down and watch TV. You and Dennis became friends after you were on the show, The Job, because you're both hockey fans. Do you still hang out together and do hockey?
Yeah. Boy, you've done your research. That's really good. Yeah. We did. We did. After I did The Job, which, as I said, was a show on ABC, we became friends and we played. I'm a huge fan of ice hockey, and he's a huge fan of ice hockey, and we ended up, I stayed at different charity events he had, and we ended up playing hockey, and like I said, the relationship just developed from there, and like a lot of the mornings before we'd film Rescue Me, we'd play hockey in the winter, and we'd play street hockey, actually, in the summer, and it's just incredible because, when you're playing hockey, like you don't really have much time to think about anything else but what's going on out there because it's such a fast game. So a great workout takes your mind, out of what, reality of work and all that stuff and just kind of lets you relieve some stress. So he's a huge hockey fan, and we played a ton of it throughout all seven seasons of Rescue Me. And I just saw him when I was back east over Christmas, and I skated with him and his crew there like three or four times. Played some hockey as well.
Oh, that's fun. I love hockey.
Yeah.
That's the only sport I watch. And I have to say, go Blackhawks.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Nice. Go Blackhawks. Love it. Yeah. He's an amazing. I mean, I was able to meet, like, I played in a charity event that he had at the Boston Garden. Before it was tore down, the original Boston Garden, where I scored, it was with, Bobby Orr, Cam Neely, all these like hockey Hall of Fame stars, and I scored
Definitely.
The first goal. Yeah, I scored the first goal off an assist from Michael J. Fox.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome!
Yeah, it was awesome. I have a huge picture. You should see my smile. I'm like, it's ridiculous.
Did somebody videotape that? I mean, that's something that you want to look back over the years, to see that you did that.
Yeah, I don't know. I bet you it's got to be. It was a big charity event. Steven Tyler, was our coach from Aerosmith. And, it was a really cool.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, it really was.
I want to see that. I'm going to have to start digging around YouTube and see if I can find it. There's everything on YouTube these days.
Yeah, can you call me if you find anything and tell me where?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Not a problem.
Cool.
Well, first off, I want to say how awesome it was to see your name come up second right after Dennis Leary on the opening credits for Rescue Me. That's huge.
It's just alphabetical order. It's nothing.
No,
no, it's really it was really exciting. I mean, for me, like I said, like, you know, being a just being a New York actor who definitely was working and getting by, but definitely struggling and, like, you know, trying to live the dream and just trying to get better every day, and then to slowly build it. And you know what? It is a slow process. I mean, no one, or at least in my experience, there might be one in a million, but no one really makes it overnight. Like, it's just such a long road of, you know, not only – you wouldn't be ready if it happened. Like, if all those jobs and all the stuff that I did, I wouldn't have made it – me personally, I wouldn't have made it on Rescue Me hadn't I had all that experience, you know? And I'm not even talking about acting. I'm talking about – dealing with, yes, one aspect, the storylines that we got, because they were really, like, you were always jumping off the cliff as an actor. I mean, you had to be pretty brave and, like, you trusted the writing so much because it was so good. But, you know, you really were, like, it was a challenge. And not only that, but also just being on a set every day with, you know, working 14, 16-hour days and just everything that it's about, it's very, I don't think people realize. And, like, look, I mean, I'm the luckiest guy in the world to have had that experience. I'm not saying, like, I wasn't digging ditches, you know, but you definitely need to, you definitely need to have a certain amount of experience. And, you know, it's just a natural progression, I feel like. You just learn and build, and, you know, it's just one accomplishment after another, and it just leads to the next thing.
Yeah, I think a lot of fans of a lot of the actors out there that are big names don't realize that, you know, that didn't happen overnight just because they just discovered them. You know, they worked their way to the top. So if they go back and look at what they did before, they'll see that they've been around for a long time.
That's exactly right. Yeah, a long time. I mean, there's so many incredible actors who are, like, you know, play, like, the edgiest, dirtiest characters in, like, these really super interesting indie films who are, like, like Benicio del Toro. He was in, like, Pee Wee's Playhouse, you know? Like, you don't realize, you know, you don't realize that the journey, that it's work, and you just keep taking the work and get better. But like you said, there are a lot of actors and a lot of people who don't know, I don't know a lot of other actors who are series regulars on shows until I get into that show. Then you're like, oh, and I honestly, you know, being completely honest, never really realized that aspect until I was one of them. You know, I mean, you don't watch my show, you don't know who I am, but maybe I'll end up being in a big movie or being in the show that you do watch. And you may not even know that I did 7 years on another series. It's just interesting the way it works, really.
Exactly. And speaking of 7 years, what emotions ran through you when a series that's so awesome, is on so long, and a huge part of your life ends?
Yeah, you know, it was, I miss everyone so much, like, now, and when it was ending, that was, like, the last day was really tough because we were, like, a family. And that includes the crew and all the people, all the people involved. But I was also very excited at the time because, don't forget, I played the character for 7 years. So even though it was so fun, and again, with that writing, and my character was always developing and always had some really crazy storylines, so it was never, there was never really a dull moment. It was exciting to be like, wow, at the same time, now moving on to the next phase. But that being said, what a talented group of people. And I was actually, like, sort of been thinking, imagine if we ever got back together and did, like, because, like, I was seeing, like, these shows, like, Heroes, that show, what was that, they're back together, and, like, Entourage is doing a movie, and, like, what a fun thing to jump back in and work with these people if it ever happened again would really be something.
There you go. Put a bug in Dennis Leary's ear and let him know that that would be cool, and I'm sure the fans would absolutely love it.
That would be so fun. Who knows? Maybe. I'm just glad that I made it through all 7 seasons without dying in a fire so I could come back.
But. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Now, speaking of, what was it like to be in those fire scenes even though they weren't, you know, quote, unquote, real?
Well, it made you realize what sort of, like, a wimpy actor, fake firefighter you were. Because It was, they were really, it was intense. It was really intense, and that's something Dennis wanted. Like, with everything with the show, he really tried to keep as much reality in it as possible. Of course, there's always a Hollywood edge. You have to make it, it's TV, so you have to make it move and entertaining. But, you know, he holds the fire department and firemen in general just so close to his heart that he mm-hmm. really, he used a lot of real-life stories from guys
yeah.
that he knew to put into the show, and with the fires, he wanted them to be appear as real as possible. So that's as much smoke. Not like it was like, so it wasn't like man against beast, you know. It was like a man against
right.
flame. It was like really like hard to see what was going on in there, and like really tough to see one another. And I, it was pretty tremendous. I mean, it was scary, and it was hot. And like I said, those were controlled fake flames, you know.
Yeah, yeah, and it does make you honor the firefighters and the police department and all those people out there so much more and you know, appreciate what they do day to day. They literally take their life in their own hands when they go out
yeah,
on call.
Yeah, and you never – it's unbelievable. And you never know what you're getting into, what the call is going to be, and, like, to think that that's, like, mm-hmm. a real job, you know. And I don't care if you only get, like, one real call, like, nothing happens for the whole month as well. Then there's, like, one real fire or for 2 months or whatever it is. But, man, when that one really happens, it's pretty – I mean, it's unreal. I mean, it was really just so much respect and love about brotherhood, you know, and to those guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I'm thankful every day because I know that's not a job I could do. So I appreciate and respect them for being able to do that for
yeah,
all of us.
That's right.
Now, would you like to be in another series or do you want to move on to
yeah.
just making movies?
Well, you know, I mean, what I did was when we wrapped on Rescue Me, I took some time with my music and I toured. I actually ended up going to Pakistan as like a diplomat of peace, and I played in Karachi and Lahore and Islamabad and
oh my
all
God.
These amazing, yeah, all these amazing places with my band for students throughout universities. We did big shows, you know, a few thousand kids at each show, and you know, it was such a special experience. And I just spent a lot of my time like writing and sort of growing in that direction, which actually I think, you know, to be a good actor or you need to really experience. So I can bring, you know, all those experiences, what I do into my acting, songwriting, whatever I want to, you know, tackle as an artist. But I felt like I wanted to experience different things. So that's what I did with right after for a while. And I was fortunate enough to, around this time last year, I did a film in Prague. It's coming out 2014. I don't know if there's a specific release date yet, but it's called The Last Nights. And it's with Clive Owen and Morgan Freeman. And what an unbelievable experience that was. It's like a fantasy piece set in not a specific time per se, but with castles and horses and fighting and really, really unbelievable. So to get back, I guess, to your question, I guess we can talk more about the film and stuff. I'm just sort of enjoying the journey and taking what is exciting for me, you know, and what I really want to invest my time and life into.
Yeah, and I mean, I know it all comes down to the script when you get it, you know, if you think it's going to sound, if it's going to be a good movie or if it's going to be a good television series and things like that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of thought that goes into it and whether you have to move somewhere else, you know, or go cross
yeah.
country all the time.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's, you know, that's what I've been doing now. I've been bouncing back and forth between the East and West Coast during this time. And I will tell you this, though. There are so many good TV shows now. I can't believe it. Like, I'm late to the game, but I just watched the 2 seasons in a row of American Horror Story. Have you seen that?
No, but I know it's huge because when I'm on Twitter, that's all I see is that one and a couple other ones all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't know. By the tweets, it sounds like it's something pretty horrific.
Intense, yeah.
I don't know
really?
If I could watch it, but I should try.
Yeah, it's really intense and scary and, like, it's so well acted. And, you know, I mean, there's just so many. I like The Walking Dead, too. Of course, Breaking Bad, amazing.
That's the other one.
There's so many good scripts and TV shows, and there's so many stars and amazing actors doing TV now. So it's like the right situation comes my way. Like, I'm out here definitely reading a ton of scripts and into you know, I can't wait to see what that next sort of event, you know, that next adventure, what that next ride's going to be, the next journey. So it's just the other thing. It's so, what's so wonderful about being an actor and just kind of, you know, it's like there are a lot of hard times, and because you don't know what your next pick's going to be, and you don't know, it's not a very secure life, but at the same time, right. I couldn't imagine anything different because it's so exciting, you know?
Yeah, yeah, you live for the next escapade.
Yeah, yeah.
The unknown. I'm going to jump in, and where it takes me, it takes me. I mean, that is exciting. It gets to be kind of monotonous and boring when you're working the same job on a daily basis, doing the same things from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and I am the type of person that needs to always be doing something different, and so I can't even think about going back to a regular 9 to 5 job. That's why I do this.
Great. Awesome. Awesome.
Now, what do you ever see yourself doing, like a situation comedy?
You know what? I've actually been reading some scripts, and there's a whole different rhythm to that. It's a whole different beast. What I loved about Rescue Me is, as you said when you started, and actually I'm glad you brought it up because I meant to comment on that because it was really smart. Yeah, the 1 minute you could be laughing and the next crying. It was like a drama.
Yeah.
Like a dramedy, right? And what I love about that is you play it really real, and it's funny from, like, peering, like, looking into the window of the person's life, you know? It's real. But with the half-hour stuff and the situation comedy, there's a whole different rhythm to it. And you know what? It would be a heck of a gig. Like, I just read a great script of a pilot that's going to be coming out, the pilot will be made anyway. And I was like, this is really fun, you know? And it's like, I could see that, but it's a whole different rhythm and a whole different way of acting. And I really would enjoy doing that, actually. I never thought I would, but I would.
Yeah.
Well, it would be something new.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, I was gonna kind of elaborate on, speaking of The Walking Dead and all, of course, that's filmed here in Atlanta and so many other things filmed here. Could you ever see yourself coming out to Atlanta and plopping yourself down into either a series or at least just coming into guest star or maybe a movie?
Yeah, baby, Hotlanta, of course. Yeah, that would be amazing. Yeah, and that's right. The Walking Dead shoots there. Wow. Have you like, where is it, on the outskirts, or what's the deal with that?
They actually film all over different areas. They actually shut down one of our highways, one of our major highways, for a big scene. And so, yeah, it's amazing. They just film all over. And, of course, there's Tyler Perry Studios and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Never know.
I mean, that would be really fun. Like I said, I'm a huge fan of that show, and now I know because one of the writers, Evan Riley, amazing guy of Rescue Me, wrote on The Walking Dead. So I was in communication with him, and he was living there in Atlanta for a while when he was writing. It's the thing,
cool.
You never know where this job's going to bring you, and I certainly would. Yeah, I would love that.
Oh,
you need to
sure.
put the bug in somebody's ear and have them get you on there, you know, even as a guest appearance.
Yeah, that would be fun. Huh? I love that show.
I know my husband and my daughter watch those shows because a couple times I've texted my daughter and she's like, I can't talk now. American Horror Story's on. I can't talk now. Walking Dead is on. It's like, oh, people, please.
That's
I almost know what it is because of social media and my daughter, so there you go.
Right.
But
there
I'll
go.
Sit
yeah,
down and
have,
watch it one day.
Yeah, well, you seems like you gathered some decent information about it, so.
Yeah, yeah. Now, let's move on to your career as a musician. I love, love your music.
Thank
Same here.
You.
I have three songs uploaded that you have on Reverb Nation that I'm going to play at the end of the show for the listeners so they can hear how awesome you sing. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So when did you become interested in being a musician? I mean, did music and acting come hand in hand, or how did that work?
Yeah, you know, actually, I got, like, my uncle gave me my first drum set when I was a kid, and I got really into playing the drums and into music. And I actually, at about 19, I was going into Manhattan. I lived in Connecticut, and about an hour and 20 minutes north of Manhattan. And I was commuting into New York to go to the Drummers Collective, which was a, like, drumming school, because at the time I was playing in some different bands, and I had bands with friends, but I wasn't sure, you know, where that was going to go, so I was trying to be equipped to be, like, a studio musician or be able to play, you know, try out for different bands and sort of go on the road. That was, like, my dream, and during that I started taking acting classes in New York. So that's how it all started. And I started hitting some acting gigs first. So I love the drums, but now I just play for fun. And you know, when I have the time, I don't really play a ton, although it'll be something I do my whole life. But I started with the acting. And during that time, you know, I always keep a journal of my adventures in life and sort of my thoughts or things that maybe I may not, like, openly talk about or share or whatever, the tough times, sad times, happy times, whatever it is, I sort of keep a journal in there. It became my lyrics. So during the time when I was situated and actually at a different, maybe more of a stable financial part of my life, when I knew that I was going to be working in New York and I was working as an actor on Rescue Me, I was able to sort of get a rehearsal space and put together a group of guys to have a steady, maybe once or twice or maybe more, maybe less, depending on what my shooting schedule was. Because, you know, sometimes I would shoot every day for 15 hours, but then sometimes I might not be in, you know, some of the scenes that they're filming. So I'd have a couple of days off or a week off or just be filming one day. So I was able to put a lot of time into writing and putting together my band during that time. This is back in 2006. And during that, I wrote a bunch of songs and and that's when I took over as, like, front man and started singing more. And, it's just grown a lot from there.
Well, singing, did you take classes for that, or is that all natural?
Well, it's a little of both. I mean, I think I developed a lot once I started putting my lyrics and stuff to melodies and working with other musicians and understanding. So I sort of, like, dove into it that way. And coming from a somewhat musical background, like my two uncles, amazing guitar player, amazing drummer, so I was around it. But definitely, like, you know, just had so much respect for singing, so much. As I started to dig in, I learned that how much work that I sort of needed and how much I needed to learn. So, yeah, I completely I studied voice and I studied the sort of the mechanics, but also not too much because I think being sometimes for me too well sort of studied or well schooled puts me in my head a little bit, and I don't want to lose that freeness. But I certainly work on it a lot, and I do different vocal exercises, to keep growing and just keep your voice in good shape as well, you know, and keep everything healthy. And I just think with everything that, at least that I do, you know, I try not to, because you're just putting it out there to be judged, you know, and it's hard because I try not to take myself too seriously and just do what I'm doing, but I think you can always learn and always be better as well. So that's what I try to do anyway.
Yeah. I was wondering what groups and or musicians influenced you in becoming a musician yourself?
Oh, well, good question. I think I grew up with my parents were really into Motown. So Marvin Gaye, Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder, all that stuff was always, and the Beatles, John Lennon, Beatles, was always on when I was a kid. And, you know, my parents would have parties all the time, and that was just, it was a really lively house I grew up in with music, music, music. And my sense is, so that's like really like, I love that stuff and have so much respect for it. But my musical influences in my years were really, I love Pearl Jam. I love Eddie Vedder so much, and what those guys do and the fact that they're still going strong is incredible. Chris Cornell, Audioslave, Soundgarden, a lot of the 90s stuff I was into. And from there, and you know who's one of my biggest influences, although I don't know how it may influence my music, but it must because I just love him so much, Bob Marley.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love reggae and I love his stuff, but obviously I don't play reggae, but his lyrics and his vibe and just, you know, I love Bob Marley.
That's all some really great music. I'm a huge music aficionado, if you want to call it, because I love so many different types of music, and it's crazy. You should see my iPod. It's just all over
nice.
The map. But I noticed I noticed something interesting. One thing that we have in common, well, your birthday is 2 days before mine, and you're born the year before me. So we're really close in age, so that music genre or all that music is definitely, you know, the same stuff that we grew up with. And, you know, I grew up with my parents' oldies and the Motown and stuff like that. I still like that stuff, too. And, of course, the 70s and 80s stuff, I love it. I still love it.
Yeah, I love it, too. And I'm glad, like, that I was able to and we were able to catch a lot of that still, like with the Doors and Zeppelin. And I know like kids now still listen to that, I'm sure, but I felt like I was born in a time where I was able to still really be influenced by that. Like it was on, you know, and again, it's going to be around forever, but I don't know. It just seemed like maybe it was more prevalent back when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I definitely like your Heaven and Hell. That's all I've gotten to listen to, and it's fantastic.
Nice. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that one has
Heaven and
Hell
collide, and you'll get to hear the other two songs, Sabina. So that's a good thing.
I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, good.
Now,
I'm excited for you to hear them.
Yeah. You're set to release your debut EP called Michael Lombardi. Can you tell us more about what it's about and when it's going to be released and that?
Yeah, you know, basically, so I released my first album in a band that I was in back then, 2008, and speaking of all our influences, that music was really heavily influenced by a lot of the stuff from the 90s. Of course, I made it mine, and I put my thing on it, and I put it out there, but I felt like with this new EP, I feel like I've really evolved, and I put in everything that I've learned and how I've developed over the last 4 or 5 years and as a musician and as an artist. And I think like what we did with this was still, of course, held on to everything I am and stand for and what I'm influenced by, but I was able to add a more modern sound with the music. Lyrically speaking, the whole song form, that's really what I wanted to do than my last album. That's why this is just self-titled. It's just me putting it out there. We worked on the songs for a while. We recorded a bunch of demos through this writing experience and then decided to, you know, record 5 of them but in the studio. But, yeah, I feel like that's what we've accomplished with this, and I'm really proud of it because I wanted it to be something that still held true of my 90s influence and all the influences we talked about, but yet had a more of a modern sound.
Yeah, you have to make everything your own. Otherwise, it wouldn't be Michael Lombardi's music.
That's right.
You know?
Well, that's number one.
You got to put your own spin on that.
You got to put your own spin. But I also felt like because the first album was so was very heavily like that. And I think that that's the difference between this one. You know, I've just grown, and that's what I was really trying to do, put out something that showed where I was at now. With, of course, like you said, it's obviously my stuff, so it's all about what I'm putting out. And you'll hear it. I think, personally, I feel like it still has, like, a 90s vibe, but I think it's definitely, I don't know if you heard anything from my first album, I think it has much more of a modern sound.
No, I haven't. I will have to. Is that on YouTube?
It should be out there. Yeah, but it's definitely. Yeah, you'll see. I think you'll see that. So the progression.
The difference. Yeah. Well, you're going to be kicking off the EP on Thursday, February 27th at the Hotel Cafe in Hollywood. Our listeners, those of you that are lucky enough to be out there. You can purchase tickets from hotelcafe.com for $10, and the doors open at 8:30. Will this be an acoustic set, or do you have a full band with you?
No, we're going full rock band with this one. Full band.
Cool.
We got two guitars, bass, drums, and keys. An amazing band. We've been rehearsing, and I met a great bunch of musicians out here that we put this together with, and I'm really excited about this show.
I wish I was out there. I swear, somebody has to be my friend, somebody from social media, somebody listening now that owns their own jet to take me to the bands and the singers that I love. It's not fair that I live here.
I know.
Everything happens on the West Coast and the East Coast, and here I am stuck in the middle. And I think there's a song about that, too.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
Well, I wish you all the best with it, because if those three songs are any clue to what it's going to sound like, I know I'm going to love it and can't wait to get more from you. I actually have another show that I do, which is Take Two Radio Music, that I did this morning. I do Monday Music, and I play indie music from people around the world, and I played your song Heaven and Hell Collide, so you're getting a lot of exposure from me.
Wow, thank you so much for that. That's really special. Thanks, and, you know, thanks for having me on and promoting the show and what I'm doing. I really, it was a privilege to be on, and I thank you for your time. And, you know, and the fact that you're enjoying my music means a lot to me, because when someone takes the time to listen to what you're putting out there, and hopefully it takes, you know, them on a journey, that's something special, you know?
It definitely is. It has to fill you with pride, you know, that you know you did a job well done.
Thank you so much.
And I was actually wondering a couple of different things, actually. Well, along the lines of the live performance you've got coming up, is there any chance of any kind of tours in the future, either near or far?
Yeah, I think the answer to that would be yes. Like, there's nothing on the books now, but I mean, I can't go without getting out there, and I love doing live shows. It's my favorite thing. So I think that I would be I wouldn't be living my life to the fullest unless I got out and was able to play some shows. So hopefully we can get to Chicago and Atlanta and all those places, and hopefully very soon. I definitely want to. So thanks for asking.
Yeah, I'd love for you to come to Atlanta. Of course, I actually know quite a few different venues around that, you know, if you ever wanted to ask about, just let me know, and I'll give you the heads up on what places and the information you need. And I also was curious, what has been the proudest moment of your career so far?
Wow. That's a really good question, because what's funny is I could think of like three things and a few stories, but if I have to sum it up, you know what was pretty cool? We were invited to, and this was the proudest moment, I guess, of my career at that point, but I just remember it, so I'm going to share it. We were invited to maybe like season two of Rescue Me, a event from the American Film Institute out here in California, so we went, and basically they were honoring 12 films and 12 TV shows at the time, and I remember it was when Crash was out, so like George Clooney was there, all these amazing actors, Steven Spielberg was there, and Lost was the television show, so basically it was like a banquet sort of wedding style thing where there were just tables and each cast was at each table. So they're showing Steven Spielberg speaking, and they're showing little skits that come up from each little trailers from each TV show and each film. And of course, for Rescue Me, I had assumed at the time that it was going to be, you know, a little trailer of Dennis as the star of the show, like doing his thing. And what came up on the screen was me and Sean Garrity, played by Stephen Pasquale, great actor. When I come out of the shower and have a lump on one of my my character, of course, has a lump on one of his, you know, testicles, and it's a really funny scene. And when that came up on the screen, the whole place just like lost it. Everyone laughed, and to see like Steven Spielberg and all these people who respected their careers so much. And I was a kid at the time too, so I remember at that point. For me, I was like, whoa. I remember I, like, honestly sunk in my seat a little bit because I was like, I can't believe I'm on the screen right now,
wow.
You know, in front of all this. And so I don't think it's my proudest moment up to date because I told you going to Pakistan and sharing moments like that that would be like, you know, the sort of deep artistic political answer, but And there have been some incredible experiences in my life and things like that. But at that time, and telling the story now, it sort of gave me chills because I remember how I felt, you know. And you know, it was really something to see that I was in a scene that was making people laugh and people of that caliber and that talent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing.
That is amazing. My gosh. I can't even imagine being there, feeling that and seeing yourself and seeing all the others laughing. And in both regards, I can see you sinking in your seat, but then again, I could see you standing up and saying, yeah, that's me. You see me, Steven Spielberg? I'm good.
Yeah. You know what? I was. But at first, I was just like, what? That's me? You know? And, like, it's a really funny scene. I come out of the shower, and I'm like, dude, I got a problem. And he's like, what? What's wrong? And I'm like, ah. And, like, I'm scared to tell him. And then it's really funny. And of course, like, it's a fun, and a lot of the scenes were really serious and stuff too, and that was the thing. Out of the 12 films and the 12 TV shows, this just brought the whole house down, and I was like, wow. So it was a really, you know, special moment. And you know, that's what's interesting too, when you're laying down the work in the studio and you're working as a, you know, like, it was such an amazing cast and so fun. We improvised all the time. What a great group of actors. You know, you're still doing it in a small thing, and you don't realize, wow, this is going to go around the, like, people around the world are going to be able to watch this, you know? So you never really know, and it's so intimate. People are watching it at home in their living rooms and in their – so they really get to know the character and either like them or hate them or whatever, but you don't kind of realize you're just doing your thing, you know? I got the part. I made the character mine and just laid it down, and then it's just really interesting to see how it influences different people.
Definitely. I have to give credit to Dennis for, you know, putting this out there and having real life stories and yet putting the comedy in there to give us a break to laugh and that.
Yeah.
And I loved the ghost part of it, you know, where he would see out his cousin and the little girls and, you know, all the different people. So there was a lot to watch in it, but it made the show. I couldn't imagine one part of that missing.
Yeah, I think everything was so well written and so well, it was so thought out, like amazing, even from the casting too. I think everything, the way it just put like his family together, the crew, just the whole thing. It was really, really well written. And that was like, we were after, that's like FX, there's third original series. They had The Shield, then Nip Tuck and Rescue Me, and now they're just doing so much incredible stuff over there. So really kudos to them. And Dennis Leary and Peter Tolan, the two co-creators of the show, it was awesome.
Yeah. Well, thank him for me the next time you see him. Tell him I was a huge fan of the show. And
definitely
you should touch base about maybe possibly in the next couple of years, you know, everybody getting together, like we said, and doing everybody coming back, a reunion type show.
That would be so fun. Wow. Yeah, I wouldn't be the Proby anymore. I'd be like Tommy Gavin. Like
no.
The guy who's... yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. Well, thank you so much. I'm off to rehearsal.
Call you that.
Oh, yeah. People are like, Proby, when they see me. It's pretty funny. hey, I'm off to rehearsal right now for this show.
Okay.
I wish you could be here for this show, but I'm going to I want to come to your guys' cities and play. I mean, that would be so awesome. Hopefully, let's stay in contact and make that happen at some point. Or when it does happen, be sure to meet up.
Okay. Oh, definitely. I'm always in touch with Elena, so I'm sure I'll hear about it when it happens. And let you go, but I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We really love speaking with you, and I look forward to your career in both acting and in music.
Thank you so much. Thank you both so much for your time. It was a real pleasure, and I look forward to hopefully someday meeting you both in person.
Oh, thank you.
Good.
I look forward to that, too.
Thank you. Thanks
Have
for
fun.
Playing my tune. Okay, bye-bye.
You're
Thanks.
Welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, for our listeners, let's go ahead and play some of this awesome music that Mike has brought out to us. It's first one, since we spoke so much about it, is Heaven and Hell Collide. Love that song. Next up is Magnetic Heart.
magnetic heart.
Comes out with a full album. Now, before I play the last song, I wanted to also mention for our listeners, be sure to follow Michael on Twitter at MikeLombardi11, just the number 11. Also like his Facebook page, facebook.com/MichaelLombardiActor. And I'm not sure if he has a website, and I didn't get to ask him, but if I find it out that he has one, I'll go ahead and tweet that out and post it. So you can also check out what he's got going on, because I would love, love, love to see a few go out to one of his live gigs and then, you know, come back and tell us all about it. I'd even be very happy to put a blog and some pictures on our website, because that's what we do with a lot of the fans that have gone to shows. Sabina has a couple blogs and pictures on there too, the events that she's been to. And it's nice to share that with other fans of certain shows or certain actors or singers or whatever, you know. It doesn't have to just be actors. So the last song I'm going to play is called Lost Cause.
Your voice is all I hear. In a world that's full of noise,
I know that a love song is the only thing we'll find.
And that was Michael Lombardi, actor, singer, musician, all great talent. And be sure to pick up his EP February 27th. I'm sure it's downloadable on iTunes, Amazon, wherever they do it these days. I know you can pretty much get downloadable music anywhere. So if you love it, buy it, support it, promote it. Because indies do all this stuff on their own, don't have any label backing, and they need all the help they can get to bring us more great music. Also, don't forget about catching Michael or Mike. I never know what to call them. Most of the time I say Michael, but I noticed on his Twitter that it goes by Mike, so that's why I called him Mike. But be sure to catch him in the movie The Last Nights with Morgan Freeman and Clive Owen when that comes out. I'm excited to see that. It sounds like a good movie. And if you're unsure of what it's about, you can go on IMDb and look up Michael Lombardi, and you'll be able to click on the movie and read what it's about. But, you know, anything with Michael, because we love him, and also Morgan Freeman and Clive Owen, is going to be a phenomenal movie.
Yep.
So I want to thank everybody for joining me today. Thanks, Sabina, for joining me. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Take Two Radio with the number 2. Check out my website, taketworadio.com, for upcoming guests, previous podcasts, and more. Follow us on Blog Talk. They'll send you an email each and every time we have a guest scheduled. We used to do this 4 to 5 days a week, but with having 3 shows, it's kind of hard to do that. So I'm trying to do at least 1 show a week on Take Two Radio, and then on my music show I was doing 3, but starting in March, I'll be down to 2. On Mondays, it'll still be Music Mondays, and Wednesdays, I'll be having an interview with one of the indie artists. And then also the third show is We Know, Do You Know, which I'm hosting along with my other hosts, because we're not co-hosts, with Dawn, who used to co-host on this show and has shows of her own. So there you go. And this Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, we have a show coming up about serial killers and what makes them that way, and are they be able to be rehabilitated and put back out on the streets, although I doubt that any of them gets under a life sentence. What do you think, Sabina?
I don't know.
And looks like we're going to have a guest for that day, so follow us on Twitter at We Know Do You Know, and check out our website, weknowdoyouknow.com, and we also have a Facebook page under the same name. And with that, I'm going to say thanks, Sabina, for joining me today. It's been a long time. It was great having you back on, and we'll see you again the next time.
Okay, and thanks for having me.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.